Today on Comm Talk...
Kidnap Mr. Sandyglass?
No. We talk about Nightmare Before Christmas.
I want to do it.
Captain, we have a proximity alert with the planet Geekery. We are approaching collision.
Quix, get somebody on the comms. Enter in the security code.
2, 5, 7.
Security code accepted.
Hello, Devoted Geeks, and welcome to episode 26 of Comm Talk, the podcast extension of Geek Devotions, the YouTube show from a couple of Devoted Geeks devoted to letting people know that they are loved. I am Dallas, and with me is...
Celeste!
As you listen to this podcast, please interact with us. Send us your thoughts on what we're saying via Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find us simply by looking up Geek Devotions. Do us a favor and leave us a review on iTunes, and also leave some comments, interact with us on social media, and perhaps you can become our Devoted Geek of the Month.
This is the second official podcast of Geekmas. Before we get into things, we have one quick announcement. Dallas, what is our announcement?
This Tuesday, for Extra Tuesday, our friend LJ Lowry from Geeks Under Grace podcast, Twitch streaming team, Facebook Live connoisseur, is going to be streaming on our channel, Nights Into Dreams, specifically the Christmas levels, which I am mad excited about, Celeste.
I'm excited as well, though I may have to go back and watch the replay, because we know my staying awake game is not the best.
It's a true story. But this is, I'm so excited about this game. When I was a kid, they announced Sega Saturn, and Nights Into Dreams was the big flagship of Sega Saturn, and I wanted it so badly just for this game. So I'm pretty excited that LJ's playing this for us. So
yay.
It's going to be 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and so I want to encourage you guys to log on youtube.com/geekdevotions and hang out with us. Leave some comments in the chat. Talk back and forth with LJ and us, and it's going to be a great time. And also, do us a favor. Email us at geekdevotions@gmail.com or send us a private message over one of our social medias if you have any prayer requests, because at the end of the stream, we're going to be praying over those prayer requests.
Yes.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. That being said, today for Geekmas 2017, we have special guest, Mr. Cody McGurk. What's going on, brother?
Hey, man. It's so great to be here with you guys. It's such an honor, such a pleasure just to even be talking about this movie in the first place. It's awesome.
That's so awesome, man, to have you with us. Cody, do me a favor. Let our audience know who you are, what you do, and some of the really cool things that are taking place in your life right now.
Hey, yeah. Like my good buddy Dallas said, my name's Cody McGurk. I run a YouTube channel called Lufonics, spelled exactly how it sounds, Luphonix. You can find me on YouTube. I also have a Facebook. Other things coming as well. Anything from family-friendly content to martial arts to action to anything you could think of, and especially bringing Christ and his good news into anything we do, it's great to be a witness and a message to people out there, and it's just an honor to be with you guys today.
That's awesome. And just so everybody knows, there will be links in the show notes down below for you to be able to listen to, or to check out his stuff. Do me a favor, though. Just a certain little caveat I've recently discovered. Our show notes don't fully appear, apparently, on some of the podcast apps. So if you go to geekdevotions.wordpress.com and you go under our Comm Talk section, for this podcast, all the links will be right there. And, of course, they're also in the description on the YouTube version of this episode. That being said, for today's episode, we're going to be talking about Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yay!
Woo!
I am super excited about this.
Yes,
and
you are.
Just kind of a random question for you, Cody. What is some of your earliest memories of this movie?
Oh, goodness. It is so, so funny. Used to have a girlfriend back in junior high that was obsessed with this movie like crazy. So for the longest time, I hated it because she would play it nonstop over and over, like knew every word to every song.
This is my life.
Yes. And just for the longest time, I was like, overrated, not a great movie. Oh, my gosh, whatever. But obviously, in more recent years, that opinion has changed. It's good things now, I promise.
That's good. Well, speaking of good things, let's talk about the things that we liked about this movie. So we'll start with you, Cody. Cody, man, what are some of the things that you liked about this movie?
Oh, goodness. One thing, just from the get-go, I think one of the major things that sets this movie apart is the stop-motion animation. Mm. I'm a huge fan of this animation, and I know it's not one of the first movies to do it, but right. I want to say it's one of the first movies to really popularize this genre and really pioneer it. You know, you think of Nightmare Before Christmas, Coraline, Frank and Weenie, like just that whole genre. You know, this right. this movie created a whole subgenre of movies that I've come to know and love. But other than the stop motion, I really enjoyed the songs, the overall message of the film, and definitely probably my biggest pro other than the stop motion animation is Oogie Boogie himself. I love that dude. I love Oogie Boogie, and I wish he just got more screen time in the movie. Anytime he's on screen, he steals the show.
Absolutely, he does, and I agree with you. I think he's one of the best parts of the movie. Celeste, how about you, though? What's something that you really liked about the movie?
I loved the music. Like, the songs and the way that they were seamlessly put together and to be part of the story. Like, you can listen to the soundtrack and know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That and just the sheer creativity that went into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the storyline, the stop motion, the thinking of how to make all the different creatures. There was one creature on there that was like, how have I never noticed that one? And it was like the little bat kid.
Oh, yeah.
The wings that walked.
That walked on his wings.
Yeah. Right, right.
Like, how did I never notice him? But we also discovered that even though I've seen this movie quite a few times, I had blocked out the back half of the movie. Apparently, I forgot what happened when Jack took over Christmas. I just remembered the part where he was taking over Christmas.
Right.
Right, right.
Oh, man.
So, like, I was astonished at what happened to Oogie Boogie. I was like, oh, my gosh, how did I not remember that?
Right. So, for me, I would have to say, obviously, the animation is fantastic, like Cody was saying. It is, in my opinion, one of the best stop-motion films ever made. And there's some in there out there right now that are just as good, if not better. But there was something about this that Tim Burton had captured. And of course, it wasn't just Tim Burton. What was his name? Stickle?
Danny Elfman?
No. The other director. Oh, I can't remember his name. There's another director, and I feel bad because this is a big deal for Tim Burton. That he wants people to know that he wasn't just the only guy who did it. But the other guy, the two of them working together, they put together this amazing feat of doing it. And even down to the small details. Like, do you guys remember the scene where he's first about to open up the door to Christmas Land, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right. as he's reaching in the doorknob, you see the reflection of Jack reaching for the doorknob. And to like on the back end, we're like, okay, it's whatever. But when you really think about it, it's like, this was stop motion animation. And he is in, we're getting reflection going on at the same time. I mean, the amount of work that went into it just blows my mind. That took place. I mean, that's really one of my biggest things I love about this movie, but also the music.
Yeah.
You mentioned Danny Elfman, and I don't know are you familiar much with Danny Elfman, Cody?
Very sadly.
Very sadly? Is he part of your things you don't Danny like?
Elfman. No, just again, same thing I said about the movie. That also came with his soundtrack, his playlist. Right.
I love Danny Elfman, to say the least. And
his singing voice is amazing.
Very, very, very talented guy. Absolutely. Agree. Yeah.
So the music was superb. It's kind of cool, the fact that the voice of Jack and the singing voice of Jack are not the same.
Yeah.
And that Danny Elfman sang all the parts of Jack himself.
Yeah.
And I got to see a video of him doing it live, and it was quite epic, actually.
I need to check that out. That's interesting. Yeah.
Was Dude. He making the faces?
Yes. Yes, he was. And so, but I say all that just composed together, the visuals, the music. Guys, this was just a grade A movie.
I think it's really the attention to detail. Mm-hmm. Like you're talking about the doorknob, the small things like... every time Zero was awake, his nose lit up. Like, I mean, it's just the little things that really make this movie come together and become something so great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Agreed. Agreed. It's very beautiful to look at and to watch, even if you've just got it on mute the whole time.
Well, since apparently we have some issues with the music, let's talk about things we don't like about the movie. Things that took place in the movie that we didn't like, or that bothered us, or just something, just period about it. So, Cody, we'll come back to you, man. What's something you don't like about the movie?
Which, yes, I think the movie is absolutely fantastic. It's definitely not perfect, though. And I know I give a lot of mess and crap about the music because I've heard it so many times, but it's still great. It's still very much jarred in my brain. But I would say there's only two major flaws to this movie, and that is obviously the lack of Oogie Boogie. He's literally in it for, like, if you combine his screen time, it's less than 10 minutes.
Right.
Like, seriously. Like, you have his cool epic theme song, and then you just have Jack coming to save the day, and that's really about it.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, the only other major complaint I have is sometimes it's got some weird pacing issues. Like,
okay.
I literally just watched it before we've had our podcast talk, and, like, there's a weird thing. Like, Sally's trying to escape from the professor, and, you know, she even drugs him up and stuff like that to just
right.
get out and escape, to be free, you know? And
mm-hmm.
up to that point in the movie, you think that her and Jack have never met.
Right.
Like, ever, period, because she even gives him something on a basket, and she hides from him.
Right.
Like, just giving him something nice. And then in the next scene, when he's giving things out in, like, the town hall for, like, Christmas, he instantly
mm-hmm.
knows her. He's like, hey, Sally, what's up? And
right.
it kind of threw me off. It's like, okay, so do y'all do know each other? Why was she hiding in the first place? What's going on? You know? And that's just me kind of critiquing, but it was still a great story overall.
Yeah.
I'd probably say, other than just wish I had a little more Oogie Boogie, and I wish maybe some of the things were explained a little more. That's probably about it for me.
Right.
See, and the part that you're talking about Jack and Sally, as a girl, that makes perfect sense to me. To be like, oh, here's this thing. I'm running away now. Like, this is your typical I'm a really shy girl thing that you would do.
Right.
Right, right. So, and I totally get that. And I love their, like, romance and building throughout the movie. And just for me, it kind of just seemed like
mm-hmm.
it was like, oh, hey, so y'all do know each other. You know, it was just more of a surprise, I guess.
Yeah, and that was a bit awkward for me at times, was the pacing of it. Because it's jumping forward 2 months. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
two, it's a
mm-hmm.
two-month span. I mean, the day after he goes to, after Halloween, he goes to Christmasland, comes back that evening, the next day, and
it's a Black Friday.
Yeah, Black Friday. Oh no, it's Thursday because it's Thursday morning. He ends up at Christmasland, and so that Thursday evening is when he shows up, and so that's when. And so then you have 3 days where he's kind of figuring everything out. But mm-hmm. it's a 2 month period throughout this movie, and that movie's like an hour and a half.
Yeah,
and so there is this awkward, like, we're running through time, getting things done. I was just reading a thing earlier where like he sends Lock, Stock, and Barrel to go kidnap Santa Claus, and when they come back like that afternoon with
the
Easter Bunny,
right?
And
right.
But then they go back to get actual Santa Claus, and it takes them a month
mm-hmm.
to get back.
I think that there was some story there that was unexplored. I think they went to the other places and wrecked havoc.
I believe so. And then, like, all that happens, and like it's in the place of one song. You just see all the dates coming off the calendar,
right.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but for us, it's like 3 minutes, you
exactly.
know.
Right. Like, this is what they should do for a sequel: is the Adventures of Lock, Stock, and Barrel trying to
right.
kidnap the Santa Claus.
Well, speaking of sequel, there's an unofficial sequel type thing, and it was actually in the video game. The video game takes place right afterwards, and it's for Xbox, the original Xbox. I really want to check it out to see what they did, but I'm told that if you wanted a Nightmare Before Christmas sequel, this is the closest thing you'll ever get to it.
Okay,
really? I didn't even know there was a game on the Xbox.
Yeah.
So I didn't know it until I saw it when I was working for Hastings back in Waxahachie. But
and you actually might like it, because isn't it called Oogie Boogie's Revenge?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he does come back. Okay, awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
And so there's... Huh?
Oh, no, I was going to say, do you know if there's actually any new music in the game?
I don't know. I never played it. I just know that the people say that it is, if you want a sequel, this is the closest thing you can get to it. Because I think Burton, he fought very hard going, I am not making a sequel to the Nightmare series. There's not going to be a Nightmare series. This needs to be a standalone thing done. And because they were going to, they were really working to make a sequel to the movie where it's like Nightmare Before Thanksgiving or, you know, Nightmare Before Hanukkah, whatever you want. And, you know, it just didn't happen. So I'm curious about the game. So there is that pacing aspect where I think, like what you're saying, there's stories that should have been done.
Yeah.
Or that could be done. It just wasn't. Did you have something you didn't like? Specifically about the movie?
The snakes? I'm pretty sure that's why I blocked out the back half, because there's that ginormous snake eating a tree. I'm like, oh, God.
That was very interesting to see his gifts he gives to people.
Yeah.
Like, I was good with everything except the snake.
Right.
Like, the head, I was laughing. So, not saying I would want anyone to give that to our future non-existent, nowhere near coming anytime soon child, but right. I thought it was funny.
Right. Foreshadowing. No. Right.
Oh, man. I will say this. One thing, there was a couple times in the movie where they just weren't aware of who they were. You know, they make reference of, they're all dead. Like, Jack, he makes a very clear reference that he's dead.
Yeah.
And then, like, later, because he says, because I'm dead, I can take my head and quote Shakespearean, give quote Shakespearean quotation,
right?
So he's a dead individual, but like when he's missing, people walk around and they got that song going on. I know. So after he goes back, and he's locked up in his tower, and they're singing that song. Is something's up with Jack? Something's up with Jack. One of the lines is something's up with Jack. Hope he hasn't died. I'm like, he's already dead.
Well, but right. Later, Oogie Boogie says something about him being double dead.
Uh huh.
Like, to Santa Claus and Jack, not Jack, Santa Claus and almost...
Oh, yeah, line. Yeah, like when he's lowering the thing down, when he's about to push him in.
But is that because he's using terminology, because it's a gambling terminology, but doubling down, and he's just trying to make a pun? Or is he really speaking about a second death within the afterlife?
Well, I mean, if your bones go... I would imagine.
Yeah, it's very. I agree with you. I agree with you, though. A lot of that stuff is very much unexplained.
Right, and I don't think it's supposed to. I think it's one of those things where we maybe are overthinking the movie, but at the same time, it's as part of what you do is you critically think about a movie. Are there plot holes or other things? And yes, there are things that are missing. Dude, is it something I still absolutely love and adore, and I think that it's a fantastic film from an artistic point of view? Yes.
Agreed.
So, all right, cool. Well, guys, so far we've talked about things we liked, and we've talked about things we don't like about Nightmare Before Christmas. On the back half of this break, we're going to be talking about some deeper meanings we found inside the movie, and we're going to tackle the most heated debate ever. Is this a Christmas movie? So we'll be back with you guys after this quick break. Are you a new business or ministry and need help getting your message out? Are you a budding artist who needs help sharing your passion with the world? Need help creating a social media presence that's impactful and represents who you are, but can't afford to have someone else run it for you all the time? One of my passions is to help people establish a social media presence so they can reach others with a message that encourages and changes lives. Not only do I want to help you create it, but I want to give you the skills so that you can maintain and grow your online presence. I offer a variety of services, from graphic design to creating a social media campaign to consultation. If you're interested in my help, email me at geekdevotions@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. All right, and we are back, and we are sitting here. We're talking with Cody from Lufonics, an amazing YouTube channel that you guys need to check out. He has all kinds of great family-friendly content, reviewing martial arts films, anime, and all kinds of fantastic things, and some funny things. Cody actually did a video a while back about some interesting dance moves.
I missed that one.
Oh, I loved it so much, and I wish at times that this was a video podcast so Cody could demonstrate them for us.
Hey, one day, maybe one day. Part two, you know.
There you go, man. So That being said, we are now going to be moving forward with our conversation about Nightmare Before Christmas, and we're going to be talking about some of the deeper meanings, and then later on we're going to be talking about whether or not this is actually a Christmas movie. But let's focus on this whole deeper meanings, some things that we see that happen in the movie that kind of spoke to us, you know. Obviously, this is not necessarily a Christian film, but God speaks through a variety of ways and through a variety of mediums. And so obviously Geek Devotions, that's what we do. We see pop culture, we see things, and we allow God to speak to us through these things, point us back to the Word, and point us back to the glory of God. Scripture tells us that, you know, the rocks cry out to God. And so he speaks through everything in some fashion. And so that's what we're going to do today for this next portion of the show. So how about you, Celeste? We'll start with you. What's something that you saw in the movie that kind of a deeper meaning of thought?
I think the whole thing with him being discontent because everything's the same old, mm-hmm. same old, can really apply to us as Christians. We can get content in doing what we need to do. We can get stagnant. We can let things that shouldn't be a focus all the time be our focus, and then we get bored with it. And while it was a good thing at the beginning, it's not anymore. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, some people get bored with reading their Bible every day, mm-hmm. just to think they don't need it, which you do. It's a discipline.
Right.
So it's one of those things that there's things that you, as a Christian, need to do every day, but you don't need to be drudging through it. You need to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if he had not allowed himself, we wouldn't have had a movie, but if he had not allowed himself to get weary of what he was doing,
mm-hmm.
if he had allowed himself to have more joy, to take it more as a, to quote some people in our church, he got to do these things. He got to be the Pumpkin King rather than he had to be the Pumpkin King.
Right.
That it would have, he wouldn't have ever hit the point of having to have this catastrophe where he almost ruined Christmas.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, and obviously, kind of jumping off of that, the growing weary and stuff. Scripture tells us in Galatians 6 and verse 9, let's not become weary in doing good. And that does seem to happen at times when we're doing ministry, when we're doing life. And we're doing these things that people don't really recognize as we're putting a lot of effort into it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we can grow weary of it.
Yeah.
And we're warned very, very clearly in scriptures, do not grow weary of these things, because there is a purpose behind what we do. You know,
right,
you know, the three of us, we put out content on a regular basis that's designed to encourage people, designed to uplift people, and maybe even challenge people in some ways. And that can be very wearing, can be very drawing, especially if we're not really feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
In a
Amen
moment.
To that.
Great example. And I just want to brag on Cody for a second. Cody, a few weeks ago, you had posted up a pretty somber episode of your show. And it was right after the passing of a family member that you had. And the whole point of that episode that I drove from that is, hey, this is a sucky time and this is hard, but we need to press through and we need to encourage each other, even in these hard times. And
yeah.
And man, I was just so impressed with that when you posted that up. Like, that was really, I when I watched the episode, I was like, this is gospel right here. This is why Celeste and I do what we do, because you know, in those hard times, we still have to be encouraging the folks. We can't grow weary while doing good. I mean, I'm just so proud of you for not growing weary. Yes, we got to take a break sometimes. That has to happen every so often. And you did, and I appreciate that. I think that's what kills most ministries is pastors and ministers of the gospel not taking a moment to breathe, not taking a break from God, but taking a break from maybe some of the stuff that we got going on in our lives and getting healing.
Thank you for that, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And so so that is something we need to do. To quote the same person you were talking about earlier about we get to do certain things. We have somebody in our church who they do not like the song I'll Fly Away. Are you familiar with that song, man?
What?
Yeah,
no. That's like the best old song to me. I love that song.
Well, what it is there's one line and he goes, it's unbiblical. to the core, it's unbiblical. And
what line are you talking about?
All right, here, I know, right?
We hit a core.
You start
there.
Talking about people's hymns when they lose a mind. All right, this is it. This is it. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. And you know the line. You probably say, you sang it passionately. Just a few more what? Weary days.
Just a few more weary days. Yeah.
What did passages say we just read?
Galatians. To not get weary. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
To not be tired. To not lose
not
that joy.
Weary.
Yes.
Doing
yes.
good. And so that's one of the things that corrects them. And I think it's one of those things where, and obviously I know where the song's coming from and everything. But that is, man, we do get weary. But it's a matter of how we respond to the weary.
That's true.
I feel like
that's
the difference is I can feel tired and feel exhausted, but I can get healthy again. You know, I can't give people what I don't have.
Sleep is a beautiful thing.
Agreed, man. And there's so much power in our words, dude. If we keep calling things weary or exhausting, then we'll eventually think that way. You know,
absolutely.
they won't be joyous days. It's not just a few more joyous days and then, you know, I get it. You know, there's so much power in our words and what we put over things.
Right. Absolutely. Now, just for clarity for people listening to this, we're not some of the people who, Celeste and I, we're not the, you know, naming and claiming people who go, I don't have a cold. And we're like snot here. Yes, if we have a cold.
Yeah,
you know, if I'm sitting there going, I don't have a cold, then I don't need a healer. All right.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, if you are sick, my brother, declare that you are sick and that you need a healer so the healer can come. Amen.
Okay, amen. Right. Amen.
We're getting a little more preachy than we normally do on this. But, man, I just feel the Holy Ghost tonight.
Amen.
Anyways. So how about you, man, Cody? What's some deeper things that you saw in the movie?
Ooh, man, going off of what Celeste said, the biggest thing for me was that it was a matter of tradition over mm-hmm. loving what you do. And he had done this whole Halloween thing every year for God knows how long. And, mm-hmm. you know, even at the beginning of the movie, you know, they're just like, oh, great job, Jack. You did awesome. Great. You know, and he's just like, yeah, same as last year. Same old, you know, humble, you know. And what I really took out of it was that in his obsession to find something new, because, you know, he jacks the stuff from Halloween Town and literally like does science experiments on it and everything. I mean, from Christmas Town, excuse me. And he obsesses over something because it's new, I believe. It doesn't even matter that it's from Christmas. It's just the fact that it's something new. It's something he's never seen before. And I kind of took that in like a, hey, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, but maybe that's because you haven't watered your own. You haven't dedicated time and resources and I would say, and especially in a Christian lab's prayer, to what matters to you. And I love at the ending of the movie, after he goes through his episode and goes through his journey, he even says, oh, I've got so many new ideas for Halloween Town next year. I can't wait for next Halloween. And I really think that came from a place of like, hey, I don't do this just because it's tradition and just because I'm obligated to, but I do it because I'm the pumpkin king and I love it. And I relate that so much with our Christian lives. It's like, hey, I'm not doing this because like I'm going to get smited or I'm, you know, a slave and commanded to in a sense, but like I love God, he loves me, and I just want to love other people, you know? And that message really resonated to the heart with me.
Oh man, that's so good. That's really good. And that is an aspect about it, man. Just, you know, being content in what you're doing, man. It does play back to that place that you were saying. We get to the point where, like, we're ignoring what we have.
Just
yeah,
yeah. It's on autopilot rather than putting the effort into it.
Mm-hmm. Because
like
we can autopilot.
Agreed, man. Like, we get so used to what we have, and then it just becomes a thing of like, oh, it's not enough. I need something new. And no, like we have to have that foundation, you know? Keep it strong.
Right. Absolutely. You know, we're doing this thing right now with our church. It's called 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting.
21 Together.
We're calling it 21 Together, but it's 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. We ask people, you know, give up something, and I'm doing it, man. I've given up Coke and Monster. And,
Man, I wasn't trying to rub it in earlier. I'm sorry.
Bro.
No, you're good. I'm over here sipping a Dr. Pepper. Yeah. I didn't give up. So,
it was so bad. I was in the car earlier with Celeste, and I stopped by, and I picked her up with Dr. Pepper, and I got myself a Juice Monster. Now, I'm giving up the carbonation is what I'm giving up.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I got myself one of the Juice Monsters. There's no carbonation. And I'm sitting there. I'm going, You know, Celeste doesn't get out for another 5 minutes. I could take a sip of this Dr. Pepper. So, but one of the things my pastor keeps saying about the 21 days together is it's not about a 21-day fast. It's not about a pamphlet and a booklet that we follow through. It's not even about these nightly prayer meetings we're having on Facebook. But what it's about is establishing a pattern in our lives and making this a regular thing that we're doing. And because we do find ourselves going, oh, I mean, I want to do something different. You know, I want to, well, that's great. Well, is your established, is what's supposed to be established, is the foundation really there or is it not?
Agreed. Agreed. So true, man.
So, you know, one of the things that what you were saying, Cody, reminded me of the scripture in Revelation, and the Lord speaking to the church. I can't remember which church it is, but he's saying, you know, you're doing great. You're fantastic. You're doing all the right things. But this one thing I have against you, you've forgotten your first love.
I love that too.
And that's something that God directed me about that several times over the years of just, you know, you're doing the right stuff, Dallas, but remember your first love. And I feel like that, like Jack, he forgot his first love, why he did what he did. And it wasn't until everything just went to crap that you realized it, you know, which unfortunately I feel like it's what happens to us in our walk with God. Things go to crap and then we go, oh, yeah, I do love Jesus, don't I?
Christmas tree is burning.
Oh, man. So that kind of brings me, if you guys don't mind, to one of the deeper things I kind of saw in the film. And that was Sally, and it's kind of a weird scene. Sally's sitting there outside Jack's place, I think, right after, yeah. The flower scene, right after she's given him something to drink and some food, and she picks up this little like dandelion, and she's picking off the things, and she's doing the girl thing. He loves me, he loves me not. And all of a sudden, it becomes this beautiful Christmas tree, and all of a sudden, it's every horror movie ever, and it's bursting into flames, like some scene from Carrie or something like that.
Unless you watch Doctor Who, and then you're going, yes, die!
Yeah, unless you watch Doctor Who. So, but it was a vision, it was a premonition of like, ooh, this is, something's not right here. What is Jack doing? And she goes to Jack. She tries to warn Jack because she's like, you know, look, this is wrong. He's like, yes, you're absolutely, don't, this isn't wrong. No, you have the skills. You can do this. And of course, he's trying to get her to do the whole make the Christmas suit and everything. And she's trying to warn him, but everything she's saying, he's turning it around on her and saying, you know, no, you're wrong. You know, and he's twisting what she's trying to say. And it got me thinking about, you know, how often in our own lives are we tracking for something because we become complacent with what we do, because we're not happy with the Monday everyday thing, we've grown weary with it, and so we're trying something new. And somebody in our life who loves us, who cares about us, is going, look, this is not right. You need to back it up. But we're so blind that we're just not seeing it.
Yeah.
We're not allowing that to really speak to us and go, whoa, maybe I should pump the brakes.
Well, and sometimes it's not a matter of we've become so complacent. It's a matter of we don't want to admit that what we're doing, while it may be okay, is not what's best.
Right.
You know, it's our idea. It's our baby. It's our thing that we've created that we want to do. And it may not be what's best for us anymore. Maybe not where God's leading.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still good, but it's not optimal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so we go, no, and run away.
That's good. Yep.
If I could take it back to a passage, it really reminds me of the story where Nathan goes to David. And, of course, David has, you know, he's had an affair. He's having a baby now, and he's trying to hide it. And then he ends up killing the husband of the woman he had the affair with. And he's just acting like everything's cool. And so Nathan's going to him. And the difference is that Nathan goes to him and he presents the truth in kind of a sneaky way. He's telling a story. And David repents of it. And I really think that's key, is we have to be sensitive to God. And I think that's the difference between God, I mean, not God, between David and maybe some people who don't respond this way. Mm-hmm. The reason why David was a man after God's own heart was because when he heard the warning, he went, I suck. Let me repent. Like, and I say that, it almost sounds flippant the way I say it, but that really was that's why he's called a man after God's own heart. Because he hears the warning and he goes, I need a change.
Yeah.
You know, and And again, like you said, you know, we wouldn't have a movie, but what would have happened if Jack had heard the warning that came from Sally in that moment?
That's good. That's good stuff.
So, all right, cool. Well, guys, now that we've kind of talked about some of the deeper things that happened in the movie or the things that spoke out to us in it, let's move the conversation forward and tackle the one of the greatest debates of all time. Is Nightmare Before Christmas a Christmas movie, or is it a Halloween movie? So, Cody, what's your thoughts, bud?
Ooh, man. Hot time debate time, man. I'm going to give personal opinion and some facts. But okay. I personally believe that it is not a Christmas movie. I stated before that it is Jack's obsession with new things that mm-hmm. is what started the whole roller coaster. It doesn't matter if it was Christmas. It could have been Easter because they brought the Easter Bunny. It could have been the Thanksgiving thing. There were so many doors right there. It was his obsession with trying to find something new, breaking out that mundane, you know? And it just so happened to be Christmas. But, you know, Halloween, like the Christmas Town, I think it's in the movie for like 5 minutes and that's it. Like, you know, the whole thing, like the song he has and that's it. I think it's more of like him just coming to accept and find new ways and new things in what he loves already. And Christmas just happened to be that gateway for him in this movie. But aside from personal opinion, the actual movie came out October 13th, 1993. Mm-hmm. Bam. Mm-hmm. In October. Fact right there. In other words, that's literally 9 days before my birthday. This movie came out 9 days before I was born. Like, that's crazy. My birthday's October 20th. This came out October 13th. Like, that's crazy stuff. But, and then the actual official director of the movie, the guy that you said helped Tim Burton, he also stated that it was a Halloween movie as well.
Did he?
He did. He went on record in, I think, 2015 and stated that.
See, because that's my thing is I heard the opposite.
Really?
It was either him or it was Burton.
Maybe they disagree.
And they go,
yeah, maybe they disagree. Yeah,
is this a Christmas movie or not? And he goes, well, I'll tell you what holiday it is. I'll give you a clue to what it is. It's in the title.
Fair enough. And I totally get why somebody would say it is. Right. I absolutely agree. I just kind of look at it, like I said, that it was more so of Jack's obsession with something new that just so happened to be Christmas instead of it being like, oh, this is a Christmas movie. Yay, joy and cheer, you know?
Right. Well, that's interesting. And if I can bring out one of the points you brought up about it coming on October, would you consider It's a Wonderful Life a Christmas movie?
I don't even remember what that movie is off the top of my head. I'm sure I know it. I'm going to Google it right now.
Google it, man.
Yeah. Because I'm sure you've heard of it.
I've heard of it, and I'm sure I've seen it.
Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed. It's a classic from like the 50s. And basically, Jimmy Stewart has a thing where he's like, he's wanting to basically commit suicide because he feels like everything would be better if he was never around. And an angel stops him.
Clarence,
and he takes him to a point, like in a kind of alternate reality thing before they knew what alternate realities were, and said, I'm sorry, it was from 47 when it came out.
He said, and
saw a life where he was never born. And so he's like, I want to live. I want to be in this life. And so he snaps back and it's Christmas. And he goes, how was the ending line that everyone's super, it's the most quotable line from the ending. Oh, man.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings?
Well, that's part of it. That's where it came from. But you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you mean. This is actually like a variation of like the Christmas Carol thing, you know?
Kind of, yeah.
Like the Scrooge, you know, the inspiration for it.
Much milder version of it, but yes.
Right.
I mean, so many great quotes. I'm on IMDb looking at some of the quotes, and there's tons of really fantastic quotes that came out of this movie. But that movie is on everybody's like top 10 list of Christmas movies, right?
Right.
It came out in May.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. Like here, like it shows for me for some reason it released in like it says it released December 25th, 1946 for me, but I know all that stuff gets weirdly outdated. But
are you on IMBD?
No, I was just on the Google page, like when it loads. But no, I mean, I totally believe you. It might have been released on December 25th 1 year, because they used to re-release old movies all the time, you know.
Well, funny thing, not that we're talking about this movie, but we are. I'm looking at what you're typing and I can't think of the title of the movie. It's a Wonderful Life actually flopped because it came out in May, and then it also came out right after one of the wars, and I can't remember which one.
World War II,
thank you. And so it was too feel good for these guys who were coming back from fighting. Like, they were like, we can't handle this. This is too sappy. And so it failed until it got picked up by NBC like 10 years later. And they're like, hey, let's show this for Christmas. And so that's kind of where the tradition came in of it's a Christmas movie. And that's when it gained its popularity.
Right, right. No, I totally believe you. Weirdly, I clicked on the IMDb. You know what I mean.
The IMBD.
IMBD, forgive me. And it says it came out January 7th. So that's another different date. I don't know.
Weird.
But I am not a major on It's a Wonderful Life at all. So I'm going to take your word for it.
I'm
going
to toss this to our listeners. Listeners, if you are listening now, you stuck around this far. Send us a message and get this straight for us. When did this movie come out?
And if all else fails, ask my dad.
Right. I did, though, initially hear what you said, Celeste, that it did flop. So it makes more sense if it would have came out in May, it probably would have flopped. So, you know, it definitely makes more sense.
So, all right. Well, Celeste, how about for you? Is this a Christmas movie?
I would say yes, because it's literally the entire focus is Christmas. Now, it's Christmas through a skewed point of view, and it's Christmas through the eyes of Halloween,
right?
Which I think is an interesting view of Christmas. But I would say it's definitely a Christmas movie because it has everything you look for. You feel better at the end, like we were talking about last week with Die Hard. You know, you have your moments where you're like, oh no, and then everything is good.
Mm-hmm.
You're happy again because Santa Claus is happy and Jack is happy and the people are happy and Christmas is saved and Halloween is going to be great next year. I mean, it's one of those things of, while yes, I agree that it was his fascination and it could have been any holiday, I think that because it was Christmas and because Christmas is so known for being magical, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's a movie trope of everything's wonderful at Christmas, because I know it's not for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that with any other holiday, A, the movie would not have been as good.
Mm-hmm.
And B, it wouldn't have been able to pull it off.
Hmm.
So, because, I mean, what's going to happen with the turkey? The turkey goes, no, I'm going to save Thanksgiving. Chop my head off. Like, pluck my feathers.
Yeah. I totally agree.
You're pulling the headphones out of my ear.
Sorry. Oh, man. All right. So, I'm going to go down on record saying this is, and watch this. This is going to be kind of trippy. This is a Halloween movie and a Christmas movie. It's both, and it carries a lot of your Halloween themes of the creepy and the scary, but keeping with our 90s kid-friendly feel, obviously. But at the same time, it does encapsulate Christmas aspects. I don't see why this can't be both and.
Which is why we watch this in October and December.
Hey, there you go. Hey, maybe five times a year. Who knows? Every holiday.
No, there's not enough of the other holidays.
I agree with
Easter
that,
Bunny.
Though. Yeah, you're right.
That poor rabbit. He's so scared.
Oh, man. So, but is that a plausibility for it to be two seasonal genres at one time?
Absolutely.
For sure. I totally see that.
All right. Now, I was thinking about when I was trying to get ready for the show, and I was going, okay, I'm going to have to say yes or no to if it's a Christmas movie. My question is, are there any other movies out there that are kind of multi-seasonal genre?
Holiday Inn is a classic, and the whole basis of it is they get a hotel, an inn, and they only open on holidays. So, like, for the people who don't have places to go, they open it, they entertain. It has Frank Sinatra. One of my friends and I were just talking about this recently. But it's not, it goes through all the holidays. They open for Thanksgiving. They open for Easter. They have a Halloween one. And they show bits of all of it. The only reason it's considered a Christmas movie is because it starts at Christmas and it ends at Christmas. And some of the more memorable things.
See, I always get that movie confused with White Christmas.
Yes.
Like, I don't
know. A lot
like,
of people do.
Like, it seems like those movies are just like, just throw White Christmas in the middle of it and it's the same thing.
But it's not.
It feels like it.
That's because you don't like musicals.
It's true.
off the top of my head, I can't think of any of them other than those two. Now, I'm sure if I went through an extensive list, oh, yeah, there you go. But, yeah, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything.
Okay. Well, let's make that the question of the week for our listeners of Com Talk. What is, are there any other, besides what we just mentioned, multi-seasonal movies? They either they're Thanksgiving and Christmas, or they're this and that, and leave us some answers as to why you think that. Leave comments on our Instagram, our Facebook, our website. Leave comments on our websites. We have that set up on every post on our website that you guys can leave comments and communicate with us, go and have a conversation back and forth. Also, you can leave comments on YouTube at youtube.com/geekdevotions underneath this particular videos or Com Talks video. So. Yeah, I think that's about it. Cody, do me a favor, man, and let our people know one more time how they can find you and all the great content that you put out.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. Again, my YouTube channel is under Luphonics, L-U-P-H-O-N-I-X, exactly how it sounds because I suck at spelling. And I also have a Facebook page for it as well. And I will be going to other platforms as well eventually. But right now, those are the main things. YouTube at Luphonics and Facebook at Luphonics. I do post juicy memes as well on my Facebook page. So please like it for sure. But again, guys, it's been such an honor and pleasure to be on here. I love what you guys do. And hopefully can't wait to have you guys on my channel one day.
Yeah, man. We look forward to it. And like I said, guys, go check out Cody and his great stuff. It's really quite enjoyable. Sometimes you laugh. Sometimes you have some major feels. And sometimes you're going, what is he saying? but that's what I love about Cody is he has a really great, interesting point of view on a lot of things. And his reviews on martial arts films and anime are really quite in-depth and very intriguing. So check that out. Obviously, and enjoy. Obviously, you can also check out our stuff on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at Geek Devotions, and also check out our community page on Facebook. It's Devoted Geek Life. It's a place where we do polls for the shows. We get people's opinions. We just did Iron Geek Chef competition on there. And it was a lot of fun. Our friend from here in Shreveport, Brant Seboykin, he actually won the popular vote for the competition with his Triforce chicken salad sandwiches.
It's because his kid shoved a sandwich in his face.
Oh, man, it was so fun. And you need to go back and check out the video if you hadn't a chance to yet, Cody.
I will.
Check out Adam's. As well, because Adam's was very good.
Yeah, Adam Collings, you like him too. I want to encourage people to check him out too. And again, there will be links in the show notes of all these people. Adam does a YouTube channel where he, like twice a month, he will review Christian fantasy and sci-fi books.
Which I still need to ask him what the name of that book was.
Yeah, and so he's a really cool guy. But here's the kicker for that. And you're going to love this, Cody. This dude is from Australia.
Oh wow!
And you know what our secret ingredient? You know what our secret ingredient for our Iron Geek Chef competition was?
No idea.
Thanksgiving leftovers.
Oh.
This man doesn't have Thanksgiving. He had to research Thanksgiving and then figure out what he was going to do from there.
Wow! Respect for him,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
Respect.
Oh man, so. Well, guys, don't miss next week. We're going to be doing Batman Returns. We do have a guest scheduled for it, but due to some scheduling things, he may not be able to be on our show. We're trying to work it out. Hopefully, he will be able to be on with us next week. But we are talking about Batman Returns, and that's going to be on our Geek Devotion and for Com Talk. So.
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to Com Talk today. If you have loved this episode, head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Until next Sunday, stay devoted.
Peace and love.
Woo!